شہویہ کی ہیں, یعنی دولت طاقت شہرت تینوں چیزیں قوہ شہویہ کی ہیں, لیکن جو ان کے پیچھے بھاگتا ہے وہ خود بخود قوہ غزلیہ کے ہاتھوں بھی شکار ہو جاتا ہے. وہ کیسے؟ جب دولت کے پیچھے بھاگتا ہے کوئی رکاوٹ بنتا ہے, خود بخود اس کے اوپر ظلم کرتا ہے تاکہ دولت تک پہنچے, غضب دکھاتا ہے, دشمنی کرتا ہے, قوہ غزلیہ بھی اس کی نابود ہو گئی. اس کے بعد جب اس ظلم و ستم کے اندر آگے بڑھتا ہے تو دیکھتا ہے سامنے والا مقابلہ کر رہا ہے, اب اس کے خلاف مکاریاں کرتا ہے, اس کے خلاف جال بنتا ہے. یہ قوہ بہمیہ کا استعمال ہے جو شیطان بناتی ہے. بس یہ انسان جانور سے شروع کرتا ہے, درندہ بنتا ہے, آخر میں شیطان بن کر دنیا سے رخصت ہو جاتا ہے. یہ آج کی دنیا ہے, یہ جو سرمایہ دارانہ نظام ہے اس کا اختتام یہ شیطانت ہے. آج شاید اگر ہم کہیں کوئی شاید قبول نہ کرے, یہ دنیا شیطان پرستوں کی دنیا ہے, شیطان پرستوں کی دنیا. ابھی ہم یہ دعویٰ کر رہے ہیں تو ابھی ثابت نہیں کر پائیں گے, تو شاید آپ کے نزدیک یہ وزن کم ہو جائے گا کہ بھئی ہم نے بت پرست سنا تھا کہ مثلا مکہ کے لوگ بت پرست تھے, یا مثال کے طور پر فرعون جو تھا وہ اپنی پرستش کرواتا تھا, کیا شیطان پرستی بھی ہے؟ یہ دنیا شیطان پرستوں کی ہے, اور ہم اور آپ شیطان پرستوں کی اس دنیا میں اللہ کا نام لے کر زندگی گزار رہے ہیں, لیکن بدقسمتی سے بار بار شیطان پرستی کا شکار ہو رہی ہے. اب ہم میں سے عقل مند کون ہوگا؟ ہم میں سے عقل مند سب سے پہلا کہ یہ کام کرے گا اس نظام کو پہچانے کا. خدا کے نظام کو پہچاننے کا ایک راستہ یہ شیطان کے نظام کو پہچاننا. شیطان کا نظام پہچانے تاکہ خود بخود یہ سمجھ میں آئے اس میں سے کون سا ہے جو شیطان نے ڈالا ہے اور کون سا وہ حصہ ہوگا جو خدا نے رکھا ہوا ہے. مثال کے طور پر اگر کسی کی زندگی کا حلف ہی لذت طاقت شہرت ہے, دولت طاقت اور شہرت ہے, ہم نے کہا شیطان کا نظام ہے, اب آپ کو خود بخود سمجھ میں آ جائے گا آپ کی زندگی کا مقصد کیا ہونا چاہیے.
Those guys were both members of the secret society at Yale, right?
I have on my website, Infowars.com.
So we're not getting this new guy is no better than the lone
guy. Here's the deal. If you believe Reuters, they're third cousins. If you believe the Associated Press, they're ninth cousins. They're both ninth cousins to Hugh Hefner. They're members of the same secret society, only 15 members each year, which admittedly was set up in 1832 to overthrow the U.S.
And we only have 800 living members of that organization. But you can count their members as 3 presidents, 8 CIA directors, many of the heads of the Fortune 500. And they work in concert together to bring you the unfolding police state, to bring you these criminal wars of aggression against sovereign, innocent nations.
Bush, Kerry, and Hefner, odd cousins.
Oh, you found it.
News.
Well, think of that. Out of 290 million Americans, we have 2 people from the most elite secret society in the United States, only 15 members tapped or chosen each year, and this is who we get for our presidential candidates. Out of 290 million, 2 people from the same organization that just chooses a couple people every year. It's absolutely incredible. Can you guys open website audio up on the air?
Yeah.
You can go to Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com right now. Scroll down and it says Skull and Bones, and you play the clip of Bush on Meet the Press a few weeks ago saying, yeah, it's so secret I can't talk about it.
Okay, let me play this. Yeah. See if it works. Yeah.
You were both in Skull and Bones, the secret society. It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America? The conspiracy theorists are going to go wild.
I'm sure they are. I don't know. I haven't seen the web.
Number 322?
First of all, he's not the nominee, and look, I look forward.
Are you prepared to lose?
No, I'm not going to lose.
Kind of skipped over it, didn't he?
Well, he just said it's so secret I can't talk about it. Now go down. Under that.
Oh, so he was serious? I thought he was kidding.
Under that is Lord Kerry on Meet the Press about a month earlier.
You both were members of Skull and Bones, a secret society at Yale. What does that tell us?
Not much, because it's a secret. Is there a secret handshake? Is there a secret code?
I wish there were something secret I could manifest.
322, secret number?
There are all kinds of secrets, Tim, but one thing is not a secret. I disagree with this president's direction that he's taking the country. We can do a better job, and I intend to do it.
He laughs, too.
Wow. Do you know what's interesting about that clip? They both gave the same
answer,
short answer, and moved on to the next subject with a chuckle.
With a little chuckle in between.
No, I'm saying it's all staged.
That's pretty weird.
So we have these cousins who are members of the same secret society who have sworn an oath to each other above all other oaths. And they admit, even in the mainstream media, but laugh and say, oh, it's no big deal, that these so-called leaders engage in bizarre occultic rituals. And it's so weird that the general public has trouble even interfacing with it. There's kind of a cognitive dissonance that we don't want to believe it. We cannot ignore it. It's right out in the open.
What about, think of that, out of 290 million Americans, we have two people from the most elite secret society in the United States, only 15 members tapped or chosen each year, and this is who we get for our presidential candidates. Out of 290 million, two people from the same organization that just chooses a couple people every year. It's absolutely incredible. Can you guys open website audio up on the air?
Yeah. Actually,
you can go to Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com right now. Scroll down, and it says Skull and Bones, and you can play the clip of Bush on Meet the Press a few weeks ago saying, yeah, it's so secret, I can't talk about it.
Okay, let me play this.
Yeah.
You were both in Skull and Bones, the secret society. It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America? The conspiracy theorists are going to go wild.
I'm sure they are. I don't know. I haven't seen the web.
Number 322?
First of all, he's not the nominee. Look, I look forward.
Are you prepared to lose?
No, I'm not going to lose.
Kind of skipped over it, didn't he?
Well, he just said it's so secret I can't talk about it. Now go down. Under that.
Oh, so he was serious? I thought he was kidding.
Under that is Lord Kerry on Meet the Press about a month earlier.
You both were members of Skull and Bones, a secret society at Yale. What does that tell us?
Not much, because it's a secret. Is there a secret handshake? Is there a secret code?
I wish there were something secret I could manifest.
322, secret number?
There are all kinds of secrets, Tim, but one thing is not a secret. I disagree with this president's direction that he's taking the country. We can do a better job, and I intend to do it.
He laughs, too.
Wow. Do you know what's interesting about that clip? They both gave the same
answer,
short answer, and moved on to the next subject with a chuckle.
With a little chuckle in between.
No, I'm saying it's all staged.
That's pretty weird.
So we have these cousins who are members of the same secret society who have sworn an oath to each other above all other oaths. And they admit, even in the mainstream media, but laugh and say, oh, it's no big deal, that these so-called leaders engage in bizarre occultic rituals. And it's so weird that the general public has trouble even interfacing with it. There's kind of a cognitive dissonance that we don't want to believe it. We cannot ignore it. It's right out in the open.
What about...
There are secrets that George W. Bush guards at least as carefully as any entrusted to a president. Secrets he's forbidden to share even with the vice president. Secrets he's held ever since his days at Yale, where in his senior year, like his father and his grandfather, he belonged to Skull and Bones, the elite secret society whose members include some of the most powerful men of the 20th century. All Bonesmen, as they're called, are forbidden to reveal what goes on in their inner sanctum, the windowless building on the Yale campus called the Tomb. There are conspiracy theorists who see Skull and Bones behind everything that goes wrong, and occasionally even right in the world. Apart from presidents, Bones has included cabinet officers, spies, Supreme Court justices, statesmen, and captains of industry, and often their sons, and lately their daughters. A social and political network like no other. And to a man and woman, they've responded to outsiders with utter silence. Until an enterprising Yale graduate, Alexandra Robbins, managed to penetrate the wall of silence for a book she called Secrets of the Tomb.
I spoke with about 100 members of Skull and Bones, and they were members who were tired of the secrecy, and that's why they were willing to talk to me. But probably twice that number hung up on me, harassed me, or threatened me.
Because Bonesmen do not talk.
Right.
Secret or not, Skull and Bones is as essential to Yale as the Whiffen Poofs. The table's down at a pub called Maury's, and the Yale mascot, that ever-slobbering bulldog.
We are poor little lambs who have lost our way.
Skull and Bones, with all its ritual and macabre relics, was founded in 1832 as a New World version of secret student societies that were common in Germany at the time. Since then, it's chosen or tapped only 15 senior students a year, who, when they graduate, become patriarchs, lifetime members of the ultimate old boys club.
And privilege that are cloaked in secrecy. It's not supposed to be the way we do things. We're supposed to do things out in the open in America. And so that any society or institution that hints that there's something hidden. Right. You could hear strange cries and whispers coming from the Skull and Bones tomb. Is, I think, a legitimate subject for investigation.
His is a 30-year obsession dating back to his days as a Yale classmate of George W. Bush. Rosenbaum, a self-described undergraduate nerd, was certainly not a contender for Bones, but he was fascinated by its weirdness.
It's this sepulchral, tomb-like, windowless, granite, sandstone bulk that you can't miss. And I lived next to it. I had passed it all the time and during the initiation.
Despite a lifetime of attempts to get inside, the best Rosenbaum could do was hide out on the ledge of a nearby building a few years ago to videotape a nocturnal initiation ceremony in the tomb's courtyard.
A woman holds a knife and pretends to slash the throat of another person lying down before him. They're screaming and yelling at the neophytes.
Alexandra Robbins says the cast of the initiation ritual is right out of Harry Potter meets Dracula.
There's a devil, a Don Quixote, and a pope who has one foot sheathed in a white monogram slipper resting on a stone skull. The initiates are led into the room one at a time, and once an initiate is inside, the bonesmen shriek at him. Finally, the bonesman is shoved to his knees in front of Don Quixote, sort of as the shrieking crowd falls silent. And Don Quixote lifts his sword and taps the bonesman on his left shoulder and says, "By order of our order, I dub thee Knight of Eulogia."
Studying shadows like an indoor cat until dusk when the sky walks me home.
How far has the ancient Illuminati secret society network penetrated world politics? If you read the many books published about conspiracies, then you will learn that many leading authors have alleged that British Prime Minister Tony Blair is a high-ranking Freemason. Mr. Blair is a Queen's Counsel barrister, a profession which has its roots in the Temple Bar, built in London by the Knights Templar Secret Society in the 12th century. According to many authors, Tony Blair follows the tradition of Masonic membership amongst large numbers of barristers and judges. Mr. Blair is allegedly a member of the 1591 Studholm Masonic Lodge, which meets, amongst other places, at the Café de Paris in London.
The Prime Minister has defended his role in lobbying on behalf of a wealthy Labour Party donor who was negotiating to buy a steel company from the Romanian government. Mr. Blair wrote a letter in support of Lakshmi Mittal, an Indian billionaire who lives in London. Mr. Blair said the letter was a standard one, written on the advice of the Foreign Office. However, opposition MPs are calling for an inquiry into allegations that his intervention helped to clinch the deal for Mr. Mittal's company, which is registered in a Caribbean tax haven. Our political correspondent, Norman Smith, reports.
Lakshmi Mittal donated more than £100,000 to Labour after the last election. Shortly after that, Mr. Blair wrote a letter to the Romanian Prime Minister in support of a successful bid by Mr. Mittal's company, L&M Holdings, to buy a Romanian steelworks.
A retired solicitor once described barristers like Tony Blair as highly paid professional liars. So it is unlikely that Tony Blair will ever come clean about his membership of a secret society. However, one thing we can be sure about. The Masonic establishment at the heart of British society does not like being probed or investigated when it comes to matters of Masonic membership. A recent Select Committee inquiry chaired by Labour MP Chris Mullins found that the Metropolitan Police Force and Judiciary were unwilling to force their members to disclose if they were members of secret societies. In a series of embarrassing revelations in the 1970s and 1980s, the British author Martin Short established that the Scotland Yard Vice Squad and senior CID officers were all Masons and taking bribes from pornographers in London's Soho. Martin Short estimates that one in six British police officers are Masons, and that there are approximately 600,000 Freemasons in Britain today. Many Freemasons occupy highly paid jobs at local borough councils across Britain, which often have Masonic temples inside council buildings, maintained at the taxpayers' expense. In Scotland, Masons used to proudly parade through the streets. After the exposure of local authority frauds involving corrupt Masonic solicitors and councillors, British Freemasons went underground and now rarely march in view of the public. The public image of British Freemasonry has been damaged by the revelation that super criminal Kenneth Noy and the men responsible for the Brinksmat gold bullion robbery were all Masons. As Prime Minister, Tony Blair has frequent meetings with the Queen. She herself is Grand Patroness of International World Freemasonry, which has its Grand Lodge of England headquarters near Drury Lane in London. The British government employs a huge number of civil servants, magistrates, judges, solicitors, and officials, which have all historically been Freemasons. The deceased author of The Brotherhood, Stephen Knight, says that penetration of Freemasonry into the British establishment goes way beyond policemen and parish councils. Knight says that the Palace of Westminster, home to the British Parliament, is used as a meeting place for at least two Masonic lodges. One of these lodges is called the New Welcome Masonic Lodge, which regularly hosts blood-curdling rituals and ceremonies inside the Palace of Westminster. Members of Parliament from all political parties gather together, wearing white gloves, sashes, lambskin aprons, and wielding ceremonial daggers, swearing bloodthirsty oaths of allegiance to each other. Just where this leaves British democracy is anyone's guess, but the fact that these secret ceremonies take place in a building paid for by the British taxpayer leaves one wondering if Freemasons do not see themselves as superior to the average British citizen. Many researchers claim British Prime Minister Tony Blair is a high-ranking 33rd degree Freemason. This is the highest rank of Mason, and this elite cabal of British Freemasonry has its own headquarters at number 10 Duke Street, which some claim is connected to number 10 Downing Street via a secret underground tunnel. Inside the Duke Street headquarters of the Supreme Council of the 33rd degree, there is a red room, a black room, and a chamber of death which Masons use for macabre rituals based on ancient Jewish mysticism and Enochian magic. Once initiated into the 33rd degree, Masons are told they are superior beings, and the human population are referred to as being profane goyim, which means cattle. If Tony Blair is indeed a 33rd degree Freemason, then he is following in the footsteps of previous Prime Ministers, who have all been members of either Freemasonry, the Knights Templar, or the Round Table, which was started by Sir Cecil Rhodes following his economic conquest of Zimbabwe during the 19th century. Winston Churchill was also a 33rd degree Freemason, initiated into the Studholm Lodge at the headquarters of the 33rd degree in May 1901. Winston Churchill was also a member of the Order of Druids, who often meet at Stonehenge during the spring equinox, whilst members of the British public are forcibly restrained from this ancient megalithic site by thousands of police officers. The ancient Druid rituals at Stonehenge can be considered harmless when compared to the murderous, satanically inspired ceremonies of Freemasonry. Most Freemasons do not progress beyond the first 3 degrees or exams of initiation. These are often called the blue degrees. In fact, many Masons do not even realize that beyond the 3rd degree of Master Mason, that there are higher degrees. The higher degrees of Freemasonry are almost exclusively populated by men of aristocratic lineage, or ex-officers of the armed forces. In all, at any one time, there are no more than a few dozen men who reach the 33rd degree. As they pass each ritual test, the ceremonies become more bizarre and include symbols which can be found in ancient Egypt, with initiates being given pompous titles such as sovereign, prince, or knight. When we see Tony Blair meeting with George Bush Jr., we are actually seeing two knights of secret orders. Blair is rumored to be a sovereign knight of Malta, whilst Bush is confirmed as being a knight of Eulogia, his title bestowed upon him whilst laying in a coffin at the Skull and Bones Secret Society headquarters at Yale University. Blair and Bush claim to have democracy and freedom as their number one priorities, but both have sworn blood-curdling oaths of allegiance to ancient Babylonian, Egyptian, and Jewish demon gods. Both have sworn on pain of death not to reveal the secrets of their Masonic orders. Both have been initiated into the age-old Illuminati global network, which is obsessed with death and murder.
I mean, are we being ruled by politicians who consult with Baphomets and demons?
Yes, we are. The way the world is structured is like a compartmentalized pyramid, and it's pyramids within pyramids, like Russian dolls, one doll inside a bigger doll inside a bigger doll. So you'll have a compartmentalized pyramid that is the British government, for instance, where the people at the bottom don't know what the top is really going towards, what the agenda really is. Just as in a bank, you know, you've got a bank, and the people at the bottom of the bank who take the checks over the counter, they don't know what's going on above them, and they don't know what's going on above them. And eventually, in all these pyramids, you have a tiny little number of people at the top that are actually the only people that know how the whole game fits together. Everyone else is just playing their part in ignorance. And so what the Illuminati do is they make sure that only their people, or those that are not a problem to them, will reach those levels of power in which decisions have to be made to push this agenda forward. When people say sometimes, well, you see these people everywhere, you see these one and these one other, now hold on a second. No, they're at these high positions of power. Therefore, because of this process of filtering them out, if you're not one of us, mate, you ain't going to get sponsored by the right people to get these positions of power. And if you slip through the net, there's going to be a scandal, or there's going to be something we're going to bring up that is going to bring you down, because you're not one of our guys. And so therefore, the ratio of people who are into these dark satanic rituals, etc., to positions of real power in the world, are very, very high compared with the general population, where it's nothing like as high, of course. And so the question answers itself, in my experience, when people say, do you think the Prime Minister of Britain's involved? And my reply is, is he the Prime Minister of Britain? Yeah, well, he's involved, particularly Britain. Because the reason, you see, that you cannot put a cigarette paper between the British Prime Minister ever and the President of the United States, whether Democrat or Republican, is because both are answering to exactly the same masters. And Blair and Bush, who are gophers, I mean, the real power you don't see. They're just, if you, they're on public display, they're still at gopher level. They are far more terrified of those in the shadows dictating to them than they are of public reaction to them. Because the most that public reaction can do is kick them out. It's not the most that the people in the shadows can do. I was talking years, indeed, before Blair came to power, that Blair was a chosen one, and that he would be brought through, and one of his tasks would be to take Britain into the Euro, among many other things. And this is why Bush and Blair speak from the same song sheet, because the same people are handing out the song sheets. So yes, absolutely he's involved, and so are the British royal family, in horrendous rituals that go on at places like Balmoral. And if what really goes on comes out, and it will, people like Bush and Blair and the British royal family will have to reincarnate many times to complete the sentence.
I was an FBI agent for 27 and a half years. At the time of my retirement, I was the senior special agent in charge of the FBI Los Angeles Division. I have been qualified in the courts as an expert on cults and satanic ritual abuse. I have information from various sources that judges, law enforcement, prosecutors, attorneys, doctors, and many, many prominent individuals, including actors, actresses, professional football and baseball players, are involved in these type activities. If you go back 25 or 30 years ago, you have what we call the Illuminati that was established in 1776. And the goals of the Illuminati, this is all very well documented, are to take over the world. One of the best ways of taking over the world is to control people's minds and to take over a country through the control of the minds. So what's happening in America, and based on my research and my interviews with numerous individuals, is that the powers that be, the higher-ups, the people in the Illuminati are using the satanic cults as a means and as a tool to condition individuals and to make them victims of the mind control, MK Ultra mind control program. There's probably close to 4 million practicing Satanists in the United States alone, based on my intelligence information.
If the many authors on the subject of the occult are correct, and Tony Blair has been initiated into the 33rd degree, then his pseudo-Christian morals will be compromised by the fact that devil worshippers and high-ranking Freemasons have walked through the corridors of power hand in hand for centuries. The Royal Archmasons describe their highest-ranking brothers as Grand Solicitor Generals of the Supreme Grand Chapter. There is a secret word, the name of the true Masonic God, which none are allowed to say in public. This name is Yabulon. The Masonic God is not the same God of the Bible, which the Masons call Adonai. Yabulon has been described by Christian minister Canon Brian Brindley as an unholy compound of the Hebrew name of God, Jehovah, with the heathen names for Baal and Osiris. The highest ranks of Freemasonry utter Yabulon as the one sacred and mysterious name of God. Yabulon is a tri-pantheon Masonic god, in part deified as the historical Baal, which the Oxford English Dictionary confirms as being a Hebrew word. Baal is the chief male deity of the Phoenician and Canaanite nations. To the tribes of the Old Testament, Baal was the devil himself. Albert Pike is America's most celebrated Freemason. Pike was Grand Commander Sovereign Pontiff of Scottish Rite Freemasonry in the southern and western United States from 1859 to 1891. Scottish Rite Freemasonry has its own headquarters at the 33rd degree in Edinburgh. The United Grand Lodge of England has tried to deny that the true god of Masonry is Yabulon, or has anything to do with the devil. But Albert Pike describes Yabulon as a symbol of the infinite and internal godhead, a mongrel word whose name has been for 2,000 years an appellation of the devil. On the 14th of July, 1889, Albert Pike issued these instructions to 23 Scottish Rite Supreme Councils throughout the world. We worship a god, but it is the god that one adores without superstition. To you, Sovereign Grand Inspectors General, we say this, that you may repeat it to the brethren of the 30th, 31st, and 32nd degrees. The Masonic religion should be the Luciferian doctrine. Lucifer is God. The true and pure philosophical religion is the belief in Lucifer. So, Yabulon is really an alternative name for the devil. The last syllable, On, is a code name for the ancient Egyptian god Osiris, who was the god of the dead. There can be no doubt that the Scottish Rite form of Freemasonry in America and Britain is controlled by high-ranking 33rd degree Masons who worship Satan or Lucifer as their god.
We're talking about occultic forces. We're talking about the five-pointed pentagram, which was used by satanic worshippers for thousands of years. If you take the five points off of a five-pointed star or a pentagram, you have left in the middle a pentagon. The pentagon is directed toward the north star because, according to the ancient Babylonians, that's where you gathered power from the gods of the north in war.
We cannot allow our sons and daughters to be sent to die in a bankster's war. For oil, for heroin, for cocaine, for gold, or for control. Sun Tzu, the great strategist of war, said that all confrontations are won before the battle begins. There has never been a battle that has been won defensively. But we must prepare by becoming self-sufficient. We must prepare to do that which has not been done before. Once identifying the enemy, they have to be routed out.